You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Some consumers that might not be feeling so much relief come at 2025 are those that have Discovery Medical Aid schemes. The Medical Aid scheme has announced that there will be some increases to medical aid pricing. Joined on the line by Chief Commercial Officer from Discovery Health, Dion Kotze, to take a look at these developments. Good evening, Dion. Thanks so much for taking the time. Obviously, no one wants these increases to happen, but I'm guessing you're going to tell me they're quite necessary.
Jimmy, yes, they are. The medical scheme obviously uses the contributions of members that they pay into the medical scheme to fund their claims for healthcare services. And effectively, what we do is to increase those contributions year on year to ensure that we can continue to pay the claims in the coming year. And those increases are then informed by what we're seeing in terms of the trend in the increases in claims year on year.
Dion, when we look at some of the increases, I mean, I'm just looking at in everything from the executive plan right down to the basic essential care plans. All plans are increasing by at least 7%, between 7 and 10%. At the same time, it can be argued that inflation was around 6.4% for 2024. The increases being a little higher than inflationary, how do you respond to that from a business's perspective?
So Jimmy, there's actually two reasons why you see the claims increase by more than the consumer price inflation. So the consumer price inflation is effectively the increase that we pass on to providers of healthcare services in terms of the tariffs. Think about it as like the unit price of a healthcare service, the cost of visiting a GP, the cost of getting medicine from the pharmacy, cost of spending a day in a general ward in the hospital. Those prices typically go up by around CPI. Over and above that, the scheme also has to fund the increase in claims for healthcare services. So apart from the fact that the unit price of healthcare services increase, the members of the medical scheme claim for more healthcare services year on year. There's two things that cause that. The one is members are getting older and sicker over time. On average, we have existing members that age, and then we have younger members joining. So on average, the scheme ages by, call it, about 6 months every year, the average age of the scheme's membership. But that aging effectively leads to a higher number of claims for healthcare services, which has to be factored in. And then the last factor is then that over and above the increases in the unit price of healthcare, there are certain new medical technologies. These could be new procedures, new facilities, or even new treatments for some of the dreaded diseases like cancer that replace existing treatment, but at a higher cost. And that higher cost effectively also is captured in those claims increases. So you've got CPI as a base. It's a completely reasonable expectation for claims to go up by that much. But the medical scheme has to contend with this, with these increases over and above that as a result of an aging population and new and more expensive technology.
Dion, while this is not necessarily what consumers want to happen, it is unfortunately part of the cycle of business and the cycle of offering these sorts of services. What's interesting is you've been able to keep the key care increases not only low, in some cases you've actually had decreases in price. And I know the key care product, if I remember correctly, is the product that mainly is focused towards elderly citizens within South Africa. And that's quite important to be able to say that even though people are getting older, their medical costs at a certain age should not be impacting their lifestyles.
Yes, correct. Look, I mean, a large part of the changes that we've announced next year is around sort of the sustainability of the medical scheme and the affordability of the contributions. So as you mentioned, on key care, and in particular the key care start plans, we adjusted the income bands. On key care start, you pay a contribution according to the income that you earn, and we adjusted those income bands. And as you correctly say, for some members, they actually have a decrease in their contributions as a result of that change. We've also introduced a completely new plan into the range aimed at young professionals, those that are starting out their working life, focused on their needs, because they're kind of quite a lengthy process around the research of healthcare needs and wants of the of Generation Z, and building a plan around their needs, as well as kind of keeping it quite affordable. But at the same time, it's kind of like sustaining benefits through increasing the contributions. We've also added benefits to all plans. So from next year, members have access to what we call a personal health fund. That personal health fund is effectively the members in control of that benefit. We give the member actions that they need to complete. These actions are good for their health. It's like going to the doctor, having a colonoscopy done, seeing your dentist, doing what you're supposed to be doing to maintain your health. And in return for that, members then earn a benefit, which we call the personal health fund. And that's available on all the plans of the medical scheme from next year.
Dion, what are your thoughts around where we stand at the moment with the National Health Insurance Bill? Obviously, this is still very much in the works, and we've kind of spoken about some of the permutations that could play out now that we know that it's been signed into law. Where do we kind of land from a medical aid scheme point of view around the servicing, the provision of services, and just how it's going to impact business?
To me, I think the signing the NHI bill into law now with the NHI Act effectively sets it on a pathway of implementation. So you're now in the world where the Department of Health has to implement what's in the Act, and there's quite a bit to do there. There's a couple of acts that needs to change in order, in particular around the financing of NHI to enable that. There's also committees and forums that needs to be formed for the management of the NHI, and then healthcare providers need to be contracted into the NHI. That implementation is not a small task, so it's quite a long roadmap in terms of that implementation. The NHI Act, as it is written, provides for medical schemes providing services that the NHI does not provide. So while the NHI is in this phase of implementation, there's no reason for members to think that they don't need their medical aid anymore because NHI is there. There's certainly still a need for medical schemes as the NHI is implemented. And of course, as is reported in the background, there's a lot of work that's happening between business as well as the Department of Health and Treasury in terms of understanding what's the optimal implementation roadmap for national health insurance to cater for the diverse needs of healthcare in South Africa. But I think the important thing is in the long term, if we get to a point where everybody in South Africa has access to great quality healthcare, that's the best outcome. I think it's just the roadmap that we need to get there is still kind of being defined and debated.
Quality healthcare for all, that's what we all strive for. We'll leave it at that. Dion, thanks so much for the time, for the insights. Dion Kotze, Chief Commercial Officer at Discovery Health, on the latest round of medical aid increases that Discovery will be implementing next year.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.